Your Bible this morning, find the 100th Psalm, and we will read the first two verses of this chapter, a very familiar passage in Psalms 100, verses 1 and 2, and we'll use verse 2 as our text for the message in just a few moments, our theme for this year. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. We're reading Psalm 100, 1 and 2. Please join me on verse 2. And our psalm says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Our Father, You gave us a command in this passage, and Lord, we want to do our best to fulfill it. I pray, Lord, that You will help us honor You and glorify You in song this year. And more than just song, with our lives on a daily basis. But God, when we get together like this and meet on Sundays and Wednesdays and through other special times, help us to come with a song in our heart. Bless us today. Give us liberty in the service. Thank You for every person here. Lord, bless, I pray, the needs that are in this room. I think of Jim Carr's dad up at the hospital. Lord, touch him. I pray that You'll bless him. Be with him in a very special way. And others, Lord, who've recently had surgery or recovering, thank You for their well-being. Touch them in a special way as well. We'll thank You. Lord, we love You. Help us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
When you don't see His plan, trace His hand. Trust His heart.
Message for us today, Dan, the song. Thank you for that. That song could be a help to all of us. Thank you for that good music. All right. Come before His presence with singing. That's our message. Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, please, now, only the Holy Spirit can bring liberty to a service. There can be wonderful things going on, but if He's not here, it just doesn't happen like it should happen. So I pray that You'll bless us today, Holy Ghost of God. We're not worthy. We don't merit. We haven't done anything this week to earn it, so we come pleading only by the shed blood of Christ and by Your mercy. Give us a great service and speak to our hearts. Help me, I pray, to be a blessing in Jesus' name and amen. It was Friday night that I introduced the theme for our church in 2011, this year of singing. There are several things, as I've mentioned, that we will do this year that will revolve around that theme, singing and music. God impressed it on my heart some months ago as I was thinking about the coming year. I anticipated sharing it with our church. I was excited to share it with the staff at our planning meetings. And I look forward to emphasizing the blessedness of singing this year. Music is good for us. It's very good. Now, Psalm 100 is one of the most familiar psalms in the whole book of Psalms. Remember that a psalm is simply a song. That's what the word means, psalm. It is a song. So in this book of songs, Psalm or Song 100 is very familiar and well used by God's people, to God's people and by God's people. Now, if you've got a Bible that has the title of the Psalms on it, you'll see the title of this psalm is a psalm of praise. You say, well, that's true about many of the psalms. Yes, that's right. But this psalm is the only psalm that has this precise title as being a psalm of praise. And in this psalm, in verse 2, there are two plain and simple commands for God's people. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Now, I'm going to talk about serve the Lord with gladness this morning, but friend, I can't think of a poorer advertisement for Christ than a servant with a long face. Just can't. And so serve the Lord with gladness and then come before His presence with singing. From this second command, we learn something about God. God loves singing. And He especially loves it when His people come into His presence with singing. Now, you ought to understand, in the Jewish pattern of worship during Old Testament days, they had much singing. Much singing. They were a singing people by design. When they would go to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, many times with some of those families, they would travel by family. And the family that lived the furthest away from Jerusalem, of course, would begin the journey the earliest. And they would go on their way, and as they crossed through villages and towns and cities where other family members lived, those family members would join in. And so the group got larger and larger, and on their journey, they would begin to sing. They began to sing many of the songs that are recorded for us in the book of songs, the book of Psalms. And by the time they got to Jerusalem, sometimes there would be a large crowd of people in every family. And the family would be singing and the music would resound. They literally, now listen, because the presence of God was at the temple. The presence of God wasn't in them like it is you and me. The presence of God was at the temple. And so they literally would come before His presence with singing. It was literal. Come before His presence with singing. Now, in this, and by the way, the Jewish people are still a people who love to sing. Brother Bragg was here on Brother Mike Bragg's preaching down at Kentland this morning, but his dad was here Friday night for the not for the watch night service. His dad came to the watch night service. He was here to see the grandkids. Okay, but anyway, I said to Brother Bragg, "You're going to Israel, or as Brother Vineyard calls it, Israel." Going to Israel. That's what I said to him. "You going to Israel in February, Brother Bragg?" He said, "Yes, sir, I'm going to Israel." And so Brian Sharpen takes a bunch every year. And Brother Vineyard has been going for many, many years now. And Brother Vineyard started this business of these groups, when they go over to tour Israel, he would start them, they sing. Brother Vineyard would tell them all to sing, fellas. And so, you know, get a bunch of preachers or their wives, sometimes laymen together, just sing. And everywhere they went, they would sing. Restaurants, Brother Vineyard, sing, fellas, sing. On a street store somewhere, sing. And the guys would just stop and start singing a song. And it always attracted a crowd. And a lot of times the Jewish folks would stand around and start clapping their hands to the beat of the music, the tempo of the music. They are a singing, musical people. And this come before his presence with singing was something they did literally when they came into God's presence at the tabernacle or at the temple building. Excuse me. They were commanded to come before his presence with singing. They were to come into the presence of God with a song. Now listen, think about that. Come into his presence with a song. You probably have been through something like this. You men have been through something like this at your house, I promise you. You are going to visit a relative. You are going to visit a neighbor. You are going to visit a friend. And you know, you're getting ready to go make the visit, and your wife usually is the one that says, "We've got to take them something. We've got to take them something. I never have figured out why we have to take something to everybody that we go to see. But that's what, you know, we have to take them something." And so, you know, we find something around the house, something that's used or broken. No, I'm just teasing, okay? Get something on sale somewhere and stock up at Yard Mart for these occasions. But, you know, you got some little thing. Well, I know, I understand what it is. You know, she doesn't want to go visit one of her relatives or one of my relatives without taking a token of love. Love and respect, and so you come into their presence with this gift as a token of your appreciation and your love and your respect for your friend or your family member or your neighbor. And many of you probably did that for Christmas season. Maybe took something to the neighbors. We were down in South Carolina. My brother took, and his family took something to the neighbors. And just a little box of cookies, and she made some peppermint bark or something and took it to them. And so they came into their presence with this little gift. It says, "I love you and I appreciate you and I respect you." And this is a token of our friendship or appreciation. They come into their presence with a gift. Now, the psalmist said that when we go into God's presence, we should come with singing. Come into his presence. Come into his presence with singing. I am sure that many of you already have some good, helpful music in your homes. You play it on the CD. Maybe you put a 4 or 5 CDs in the morning in the CD player, and you let the music play through the house throughout the day. And that's a good and helpful thing to do. I've tried in counseling people who are depressed and facing hard times. I say, "Look, do you have music going in your home?" I've sat in homes with people at their table and said, "Put some music on. Put some music on." You know, you got a CD with a song like the one Brother Dan just sang. That could be a help to you if you're having a hard time. I need a help. Man, it's a help. It's a tonic. It's a balm. It's healing. And so, I tell you what, it sure does. It sure beats the incessant drone of the television and that nonsense and the filthiness that plays over that thing and all that goes on, goofy television shows, having good Christian music. And I tell you what, if you don't have any of that, come next week prepared to get some. This group will bring good music with them. So I'm sure you've got some in your home. I'm sure there are many who listen to good music in the vehicle while you're traveling back and forth to work or traveling somewhere, getting some air, running some errands. You listen to good music. I'm sure this has happened to you because I'm no different than you. Have you ever been at a traffic light and you had some good music playing in the car? And you're caught up in the good music that's playing in the car. Maybe you're singing along with the music that's in the car. I have sat at many a traffic light, singing with whoever's on the CD, pounding my hand on the steering wheel to the beat of the music and singing along, only to just all of a sudden become aware that the person in the car next to me is looking at me in a strange. And what are you going to do? You can't. So I just smile and wave. What are you going to do? You know, they look at you like you're nuts. But I'll tell you what, it sure beats that stuff that, man, I mean, it gives you a headache. I can't believe it sometimes. It reverberates through your vehicle, huh? The sound of that rap music. And so I'm sure you've been caught at some of you folks that like to sing especially, you've been caught in the traffic light just belting out the praises of God. And somebody looks over at you and they think you're wacky. Hey, we're a little nuts, but we're screwed onto the right bolt. That's what counts, amen? So I'm sure that's happened, huh? And don't be embarrassed about that. My gracious. Now look, music and singing at home and in your car is wonderful and it's helpful. But friend, the singing that the psalmist is talking about here, was the singing that the families did as they went into the presence of God at the temple. They came before His presence with singing. It would be very similar to you and me coming to Faith Baptist Church to a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or another special service and coming in and you say, Pastor, there's always singing. There's always singing. Friday night, we had a very unstructured service on our watch night service. We played some games. We had a good time. We didn't have anything real structured. We had no nursery, so all the young'uns were in the service with us on Friday night. It went fine. It was great. But we sang. We sang four or five songs on the watch night service. But folks, there is a reason for that. When a group or assembly of God's people get together, then they need to come into His presence with singing. The reason, there are reasons why we do what we do in these services. There's a reason why we sing these songs. There's a reason why we grab a songbook and find the page and sing. There is a reason why we encourage you to put your heart into singing. It's what God wants. He said, come into my presence with singing. Would you like to bring something into the presence of God that He appreciates and that He enjoys? You can. Because God enjoys it when His people get together and come into His presence with a song on their lips. Look it over at Ephesians chapter 2 just for a minute, okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible. You say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament and that's temple. I understand that. That's Old Testament and that's temple. But I want you to see what Ephesians chapter 2 says about this matter, okay? Ephesians chapter 2. Now, several Wednesday nights ago, we looked at the book of Ephesians in that Wednesday night Bible study, and this is what we talked about. So I don't have time to go into the entire Bible study, but let me just give you a little bit about what Paul is doing here. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, in beginning in about verse number 10 or 11, verse 11, he is contrasting the New Testament church worship with the Old Testament temple worship, okay? Paul is Jewish, and he is writing to a congregation that is mostly Gentile. A few Jewish people in the church at Ephesus, but they're mostly Gentile people. Look at verse number 14. He says, for he, that's Jesus, the word he, the pronoun he, is talking about Jesus. For he is our peace, who hath made both, that's talking about Jew and Gentile, made both one. And it goes on to say, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's talking about Jew and Gentile. He says in verse 17, and came and preached peace to you. That's talking about the Gentiles that were afar off and to them that were nigh. That's the Jew. The ones that were far off were the Gentile. Those that were nigh were the Jews. Look at verse number 18. For through him, that's Jesus, we both, that's Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look at verse 19. Now therefore ye, that's Gentiles, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, that's Jews, and of the household of God. Look at verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together, that's talking about the local church. Paul's writing to a church. He's not writing to a family. He's not writing to an individual. He is writing to the church at Ephesus. And he says, you Jews and Gentiles, in whom all the building fitly framed together, watch it now, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. Habitation means dwelling place. Habitation means residence. That's what the word means. Now, I'm going to need some help this morning. I thought maybe, Tom, could I get David and Joy to help? And how about Colt and Chloe? I was looking around. I thought, if you four folks could come up here. I did this at the Bible study. I don't have time to go into the Bible study. Let me show you here what Paul is trying to tell this church at Ephesus. Joy, we'll let you be the priest. We'll let you be from the priestly tribe of Levi. Now, we're going to transform this into a temple, the Jewish temple, just for a minute, okay? And it's not identical, but it's very close to how it was. We're going to let this curtain represent the veil that was in the temple building. Now, behind the veil is the Ark of the Covenant. Behind the veil is the Ark of the Covenant. On top of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. That's where the blood is applied. That's where the presence of God comes and indwells that place called the holy place. Now, there was the tribe of Levi. Joy, I'm going to leave you up here looking this direction, okay? The tribe of Levi, there were Jewish people, watch this now, who by birth were born to the tribe of Levi. That was the Levitical priestly tribe. By birth, they were born into the priestly tribe. And that tribe, the Jews thought that that tribe had the closest access to the presence of God. In the temple building, there was another court. Come here, David, if you will. And this court was for Jewish men. These men were not of the tribe of Levi. They came out of the tribe of Dan. They came out of the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of those other, Reuben and Joseph, Ephraim. They came from those tribes. Now, they were Jewish by birth, but they were not born into the tribe of Levi. They were born into a different tribe. And so by birth, they didn't have as close access as those who were born into the tribe of Levi had. Are you with me so far? Okay, so they're in this place right here. They get right up against the ark, all right, right up against the presence of God. Here's a Jewish man. He gets closer. He gets pretty close, but not as close as that guy. Now, Chloe, let's take you. We're going to let Chloe be a Jewish woman. Do you know that in the temple courtyard, they had a court for the women, the Jewish women? But it wasn't near as close to the presence of God as it was, as were the Jewish men and the tribe of Levi. And understand, folks, that there were walls of partition between these courts. And if this guy tries to go into this guy's courtyard, he's killed. And if this woman tries to come into this courtyard, she's killed. She was born a female. She had no choice in it. She's born a female. So because she's born a female, she's further away from the access to the presence of God than the man who was born of the tribe of Levi. She's further away than the Jewish man who came out of the tribe of Dan or Naphtali. Now, Colt here, he's a Gentile. He's a dog. That's a good boy right here. He's a Gentile. Now, would you like to know that there? Did you know that there was a court for the Gentiles? There was a court for the Gentiles. Oh yeah, there was a court for the Gentiles. It was a blessing. Yep, the Gentiles had their own court. There you go, buddy. Stay right there. Don't move. We're safe. Brother Johnson's on patrol this morning out in the foyer there. Okay, seriously. Colt, you stay right there, okay? All right, that's where the Gentiles are. Seriously. And if a Gentile came into the courtyard where the women were, oh my goodness, you talk about turmoil. And if a Gentile tried to get into the courtyard where the Jewish men were, this is what happened in the book of Acts when Paul went into the temple courtyard with a Gentile. They went nuts. They went crazy. And there were walls of partition. Now watch this. Colt had no choice in the fact that he was born a Gentile. Chloe had no choice. She was born a woman. This boy young here, David, had no choice that he was born in the Jewish tribe of Asher. And to be honest with you, Joey had no choice that he was born in the tribe of Levi. And there were walls of partition that separated all these from the other. So Paul writes this church and he says, look, that's Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have a different type of worship. We have a different form of worship because Jesus came and Jesus took the sin of the high priest and he took the sin of the Jewish man and he took the sin of the Jewish woman and praise God, he took the sin of the Gentile. And he put all that sin upon himself, and he went to the cross of Calvary, and he suffered and bled and died for the entire world, not just for one little select person by birth. But for the whole world. And now, because Joey is saved in this New Testament age, he has access to the presence of God. But David gets saved in this New Testament age, and David has access to God. Come on, Chloe, if you will. Chloe gets saved in this age, and she has access to God. And Gentiles, Colt. Colt, you always run. Why are you not running? Run, huh? You always run. Yeah. He's a Gentile. A Gentile gets saved. And in this New Testament age, because of Jesus Christ, everybody has access to the presence of God. And it is your choice. It is your choice. You've got to choose to receive the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. You've got to choose to put your faith in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It's your choice. You want to get close to God? You want to have access to Him? It's not a matter of physical birth. It's a matter of the spiritual birth. It's not a matter of the first birth. It's a matter of the second birth. When you're born again into God's family, we all, men, women, red, brown, yellow, black and white, Americans, Africans, Russians, Chinese, Taiwanese, Malagasy, the whole world has access to God's presence through the salvation that Jesus... Thank you, fellas. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You can be seated. You did a good job this morning. Give them a hand. Good job, fellas. Good job. Right now, that's what Paul's talking about here. Now watch it, folks. Look at what he says as we finish up verse number 22 again. Look at what it says here. It says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation, a dwelling place, a residence of God. Understand, friend, when we get out of our vehicles, male or female, when we get out of our vehicles, when we park those vehicles in that parking lot out there, red, brown, yellow, black, or white, when we get out of our vehicles and we come into this building, we, not the brick and the mortar, not the drywall, not the soft, not the lights, not the suspended, textured acoustical ceiling up there. We, you and me, we become a building fitly framed that becomes a habitation, a dwelling place, a residence of God Almighty. Surely, the presence of the Lord is in this place. It has to be. Because that's what God said in His Word. You say, well, sometimes I come to church and it just doesn't feel like God's presence is here. But brother, the Bible teaches us that when in this New Testament church age, born again people who've been saved by the blood of Christ gather together, we form a habitation for God. He is in this place. And one of the things that God loves is to have His people come into His presence singing. Singing. It's not just for Old Testament. My goodness, if the Old Testament Jews, under that kind of worship system, were told to come into His presence with singing, how much more should you and me in this New Testament age of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ come into this building. I'm talking about the building that you and I make up. How much more should we come into His presence with singing? You see, I've been thinking about how important it is that we believe, how important what we believe is to our lives. If God's people really believed that these services are what the Bible says they are, it would make an impact on us, friend. This is not a passing of time. This is not a ritual. This is where God's people come together, at least on this location, where God's people come together and assemble together, and we create a habitation. Paul is not writing to a universal church. He's writing to a local church. The church at Ephesus. This is not like Galatians. Galatians was written to a bunch of churches. This is written to one specific local church. And when a local church assembles, we become a building fitly framed together, an habitation for God. That's why I believe with all of my heart, you should enter into the song service of this church with everything you've got. It's amazing to stand up here and see folks never move their mouth during the song service. It's amazing. And I'm not an inspector general looking around to see who's singing and who's not, but sometimes it's just so obvious it just stands out. And I think to myself, you know what, I don't get mad. I think to myself, I pity that person. I pity the person that doesn't have a song in their heart, can't sing to God, habitually coming in late the last moment, missing every part of the song service. You know, I understand there are responsibilities that some of you have in certain places for a specific reason. But brother, if you don't have a specific purpose or a specific responsibility to carelessly and consistently miss the song service, there's something not square about that.
Not square. Talking all the way through the singing. You know what that is? That's what I have to talk about is more important than joining in with my brothers and sisters in singing for the glory of God. Friend, let me tell you something. What an opportunity to join together in an assembly of believers and praise God in song. What a joy it is to come before His presence with singing. You say, well, I just don't like singing that much. Well, did you ever do anything that maybe you didn't really enjoy? But because you were with someone else who did enjoy it, you went ahead and participated for their sake? Explanation. Panera Bread. Panera Bread. It's yuppie. There is nothing on that menu board that reaches out and grabs me. There is too much in some other restaurants that grabs me. Too much in other restaurants that I've grabbed, but Panera Bread. That's, you know, I want a quarter of a sandwich and a half a cup of soup. You guys with me this morning? Am I the only man like this? Panera Bread. But once in a while, if my wife and I are up in Orland, let's eat somewhere. Okay, well, I'll pull it. Once in a while. I think 2008 was the last time it happened. But anyway, once in a while, we pull into Panera Bread, and I go in, and I put a smile on my face because my wife loves that place. She loves a soup and a sandwich. Loves it. And so we go in and stand in line with all the techno geeks and everybody else that's in there. And Bluetooth everywhere. Good grief. And so we order some soup and some sandwich. You know, and if I'm going to go there, I get the tomato bisque. That's not bad. Soup for Panera Bread. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So why do you enter into Panera Bread and try to be happy? Because she loves it. And I love her. And because she loves it, I'm going to enjoy it. I know. It's wonderful. This is great. Pass me another cracker. I'm not the only man like this. Some of you guys are a little bit nervous right now to say amen, but you're sitting out there, and I can see it on your face, you know. If I was sitting by my wife, I might be a little nervous too, but anyway, I'm up here. I'm just not looking that direction right now. Shopping. Shopping's the same way. You know how you measure a successful shopping trip? By how quickly you park the car, get in, and return to the car with your item. I love it when I can park, zip, purchase, pay, zip. 8 minutes. Yes. Right, guys? Yeah. Amen. Man, that's how you measure a successful shopping trip. She'll tell you, even at Cabela's and Bass Pro, places like that, oh, I like to look around, but as far as touching every cloth, touching every piece of clothing, every... And the speed with which they go through those things, I really think it's just mental. There's no way you can actually look at all those clothes, ladies, and make a decision that quick, amen? It's amazing. Get in, get out, but once in a while... Well, for Christmas one time, we were getting some shopping done. I think Jericho was at a ball game somewhere that was going to be wild. So we said, let's go get some shopping done for Christmas. I out-shopped her. Remember that? She was dog-tired and ready to go. Let's get it done. I mean, we're getting it done. So shopping, why do you do that? Because she enjoys it. And she likes to look through the clothes racks. But I love her. Now, it's not that burdensome. I'm making a big thing about it here, but it's really not that burdensome or grievous. And I'm having a little fun with Panera Bread, and I don't enjoy it for me. But it's not burdensome or grievous to enjoy it for her. Because I love her. Is it really difficult for you to sing these songs? It's really burdensome to start with us at 11 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock Wednesday night and be here for the song service. Who do you think this is for? Well, it's for us. It's for me. No, it's not for you. That's the problem. It's for somebody a whole lot bigger than me and you. It's for him. Is it really a waste of your time? It's not yours anyway. It's all God's. Just loaned it to you to use it selfishly. Friend, we are a building. Oh, yeah, we're in a building. You're missing it. I'm not talking about that wall. I'm not talking about that ceiling. We are a building. Fitly framed together. Brother Calson, there's no greater general contractor than Jesus Christ. Fitly framed on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles' doctrine, you and me become a habitation for God. Does God ever come to my family devotions and around the table? Of course He's at my home. Good grief. And He's sometimes in the car with me going down the road. I sense His presence in a very real way. But friend, that is not apples to apples. It's something completely different when the local church gathers. And when we gather, we become a habitation for God, a dwelling place. And He loves it when His people come into His presence singing. I have to believe that when these musical instruments begin to sound, and these musical instruments begin to sound, and our voices begin to blend and harmonize, and more importantly, our hearts just begin to pour out praise and adoration and honor and worship and love and gratefulness and appreciation through songs, I believe God is pleased with that with all of us. Maybe he goes, listen. Gabriel, listen. Michael, listen. Listen. Amazing love. How can it be blended together by a couple hundred, 250, 300 voices? Not just coming from here, but coming from here. That thou, my God, shouldst die for me. God said, listen. It's for Him. It'll be our eternal joy to sing His praises in heaven. Eternal joy. We might as well get started here. Will you be there? Will you be there with us? Will you? Are you born of God's Spirit and His family? Have you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted His death, His burial, His resurrection for your salvation? Have you received the gift of eternal life that's made to every person? Given, offered to everybody? Have you? Have you been saved? Those of us who have been around here the longest are the ones that had the most. We have to watch out. We on guard the most. It just becomes redundant to us. I made a visit Thursday afternoon. Brother Jason and I made a visit on a lady whose daughter has been saved here in the past few months and been baptized and works just about every Sunday. But on the Sundays that she hasn't worked, she's been coming to church. And that's the culture we live in. That's where we have to start. Well, everybody ought to come to church every Sunday. Yeah, I understand that. But we got to work with what we got, folks. You say, well, I don't see these people all the time. They don't meet. I knocked on the door and the mother said, my daughter says, since she has come to that church and been saved, it has changed her life. That's that lady down the road. And they come in here and they hear music and they park themselves in the pew or down the row. Some young men, young ladies, some middle-aged men, middle-aged ladies, some boys and girls have a songbook, and we sing, and that orchestra plays, and those musical instrument plays. And it's more than just the music part. It's what's coming out of the heart. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. And they leave, folks, and they go, wow. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, what you might have enjoyed in the song service this morning when we sang that opening song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. How can we just sing that, you know, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Just a foretaste of what we're going to have through glory. This is my story. This is my song. This, if you enjoyed this, this can't touch the hem of the garment, what it's going to be like up there. Even those who have no ability to sing down here will be able to sing up there. Even those of you that we'd say, please don't join the choir, please do something else, amen, you know, we'll all be singing up there. Because God says, come before my presence with singing. And he enjoyed it when the Jews did it in the Old Testament. And he enjoys it when his people do it now. Little year of singing. Sing from your heart. Sing in praise to him. Sing because you love him. And if you don't enjoy music, sing because he does. Let's pray together. Father, bless our church and help us to live for you and be right. And thank you for these dear people who've come this morning. And now, oh God, I pray that you'll please use the message in our hearts today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking around this morning. Please be just stay with me for a minute here. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. Let me ask this morning, how many would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. I'm not playing a game with it. I'm not playing a game with it. I'm not taking a stab at it. I know that I'm saved. You're sure of heaven. Would you raise your hand, please, and that testimony is yours. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. How many would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I could not raise my hand just then. I didn't raise my hand just then because I'm not sure. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know what it means to be saved or born into God's family. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you lift your hand this morning? Let me pray for you. Just slip it up and put it right back down. I won't call your name. Even if I know you, I wouldn't call your name. Just raise your hand, put it right back up, right up, right back down, just a second or two in the air. Anybody front to back, side to side, main floor balcony? Not sure that I'm saved, all right? Maybe there's somebody here this morning that's been saved but not baptized in obedience to Christ since you've been saved. Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized in deep water since I've trusted Christ. Pray for me. I need to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand? Somebody like that this morning, just slip your hand up. God bless you. I see that. Somebody else is saved, but not baptized. All right, very good. If you need to be baptized, you came this morning to be baptized, follow the Lord and believer's baptism, or you want to know more about it, when we begin the music in just a moment, you come and let one of these men or ladies talk to you about the need for baptism, and I'll pray that you'll do that. If you want to follow the Lord and believer's baptism, we're ready, available for that today. Now, I wonder, Christian friend, do you have a song in your heart? The psalmist said that when he got saved, when God brought him up out of that miry clay, he put a song on his lips, even praise to his God. Come before his presence with singing. Music is like a balm. It's an avenue, a tool to express love and praise and adoration and worship to God. Huh? Pastor, at some point throughout the message this morning, the Spirit of God touched my heart in this message on singing. And in a specific way, he spoke something very, very, very succinctly, very, very much so to my heart today. And I know it. Would you raise a hand, please, before I pray and close the prayer? God bless you. I see many hands. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. You may take your hands down. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, Lord, in our hearts with such gratitude for all that you are. In this New Testament age, oh God, how wonderful it is to be your child, to have access to you through the second birth and salvation, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. God, no matter what our birth is, our physical birth, no matter what our birth is by our gender is by birth or our nationality is by birth, because we're all sinners, we can all be saved, have access to you. And you love to hear your people sing. And when we lift our voices, God, would you please accept it as a form of worship? Would you accept it as a form of praise? Would you accept it, God, as a form of love and appreciation for all that you do for us? Would you do that? God, help us to enjoy this year, to sing with all of our hearts your praises at home, in the car, wherever we may be, but especially here at the services in this habitation of yours. And I'll thank you for it. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. You come this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to your heart. If you need to be saved, if you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you can step out and come right now while we wait. Maybe talk to somebody about the need to be baptized. We'd love to talk with you. We'll wait for you if you'll come. You raise your hand this morning. Would you come? Let us have a word with you at the altar. I encourage you to do that. While we wait.